Okay, we're starting the sugya of Gardumim now. The sugya of Gardumim, as I mentioned before, is very much halacha lemaisa. The way it comes up, this Tosfos is not an easy Tosfos. If you're struggling with this Tosfos, it means you're normal. It doesn't, it's not a Tosfos that you probably should have found very, very easy. What I'm going to try to do, though, maybe I'll read part of the Tosfos inside, just to talk to what you were learning b'chavrusa, and then just try to outline outside what the shitos are and how it plays out lahalacha. So there are also a couple of very interesting things, side points over here. The Gemara ends one question with a teiku, and there's an interesting discussion in the Rishonim, had a paskin on a shaila that ends with a teiku. Do you paskin l'chumra or do you paskin l'kula? What would you say intuitively? When a shayla ends with a teiku, l'chumra or l'kula? You'd say l'chumra always. So I would have said, with Justin, that it depends on d'oraisa d'rabbanan. If it's d'oraisa, you'd say savik d'oraisa, l'chumra. If it's d'rabbanan, you'd say savik d'rabbanan, l'kula. You have to look in Rishonim and see if it actually works out that way. There is the Karban Nisanel, you know who the Karban Nisanel was? Karban Nisanel, the commentary on the bottom of the Rush. Karban Nisanel wrote, it's printed at the end, in the standard editions of the Vilna Shas, I believe at the end of Maseches Shabbos. He wrote Klalei Harif Vaharash. He wrote a couple of pages of the basic rules of Psak. You can check it out for me. The basic rules of Psak of how the Rif and the Rush paskined in various situations. And he dealt with Teiku in that situation. He said it's actually a Machlokas Rishonim how to deal with a Teiku. Do you say, like we just said, that you treat it like a Safek, Safek Daraisa L'chumra, Safek Darabanan L'kula, and therefore it depends if it's Din Daraisa or Din Darabanan? Or do you say, no, the word teiku means let it stand. Let this shayla be unresolved. That's what the word actually means. I was taught in fifth grade, the word teiku means tishbi yatari, it's kushios v'yibayos. That's not what the word means. The word means let it stand. It's a nice remez that Eliyahu HaNavi may come to answer all of our questions. It's a fascinating discussion. Is that really allowed? Can Eliyahu HaNavi just come and, you know, it makes it sound like you need a Navi to answer all of our questions. Why would you need a Navi to answer our questions? Adrab, if Eliyahu HaNavi came and said, I got a Nevuah that would answer all your questions, we would then have to kill Eliyahu HaNavi because he'd be Chayiv Misa. He's not allowed to paskin based on Nevuah, lo b'shamayim, and he can't, so that would be a serious problem. So probably what the Remez means is that he's through his Chachmas HaTorah, Mar Tzchayis writes, through his Chachmas HaTorah, He'll answer the questions. One of Rabbi Rosner's favorite varts, every time we hit a teiku when we used to learn together, and we learned through like half a shas together, so when we hit a lot of teikus. So every single time we hit a teiku, he would say, why is it teiku and not meiku? It should be Moshe Yitari Tzkushios V'Yibayos. So the in the Sefer, Eima, but in this, that's, in the Sefer Eima Banim Smecha, you've heard of the Sefer Eima Banim Smecha, Rav Teichtal. In the Sefer Eima Banim Smecha, in his I believe it's in his Hakdama, he asked this kasha. It's very fascinating to read the Sefer Eima Banim Smecha. If you ever, I once read side by side 2 weeks in a row most of the Sefer Vayol Moshe and a good part of the Sefer Eima Banim Smecha. Just one after the other. Sefer Yael Moshe, the Satmar Rebbe Sefer, where he explains why Medinat Yisrael is the worst thing to ever happen to the Jewish people, and why the Holocaust was bad, but Medinat Yisrael is worse. Things like that. And then you have Eima Banim Smecha, which has a slightly different view of Zionism and Eretz Yisrael. But what's so fascinating is that Eima Banim Smecha was a chassid, so he writes like a chassid, he learns like a chassid, like all of his rayas are the kind of rayas you'd expect from someone who has a chassidish style in learning. I mean, it's not like he's a brisker giving, analyzing sugyas like a So he would ask questions like this, like, you know, why is it teiku and not meiku? And the real answer, obviously, is because teiku means let it stand. Meiku doesn't mean anything. But he asked this kasha, and he said that the thing about Eliyahu HaNavi is Eliyahu HaNavi didn't die. Eliyahu HaNavi is alive in every generation. And one of the basics of finding a posek is that you need to find a posek who understands your generation. It needs to be a posek from your generation. And he tries to explain based on that why it is that even though all of his mentors and all of his rebbeim were very strongly anti-Zionist, but times have changed and we need to deal with the realities of today's generation. We need chachamim in our generation to deal with the realities of our generation. So anyway, that was the context of what he said. But what? I don't know how they I would imagine he's persona non grata in the Satmar community. Although his tshuvas are phenomenal also. His tshuvas Mishnah Sachi, he has very classic Hasidic style, beautiful tshuvas with incredible bakiyas. He's kol razlo, honestly. He was a baki and nigla and nister, he knew everything. He was unbelievable.
Can you repeat the
Judaism? So we'll get I'll give you the full packet of Maror Makabos if we don't get to it. So we'll get to it. I was just speaking broadly first. Okay. There are a lot of interesting side points that come up like that. Like, what do we do about a takeaway? That's not even a side point because it is halacha lemaisa also. Another sort of side point that comes up is the point about at what point is the Gemara talking that Gardumim happens? What if you're tying your tzitzis, and as you're tying it, a string snaps? So would you still rely on the heter of Gardumin that, you know, a piece got cut, even though it never really was a full tzitzis? What if you finish tying one corner, and you haven't yet tied the other corners, and then that one corner snaps? What if you finish tying all the corners, but you haven't yet worn it? And it snaps. Meaning, at what point do we say Gardumim? Another very interesting discussion that the Rishonim have. Just putting out there what the discussions are. But the major discussion, of course, is how we apply what it says in the Gemara about Gardumim to Halacha, particularly according to the Shita of the Rabbanan that we paskin like, that Tcheles ain't a makeves, is love and love ain't a makeves, Tcheles, that they're not makev each other. So let's see first what the Gemara says. Let's take a look at the Gemara. Rava says that Rebbe understands that our Mishnah is talking about Gardumin. Again, when you had tzitzis that got snapped. If the tcheles got snapped and the lavan is still there, or v'igardum lavan, the lavan got snapped and the tcheles is still there, less lanba, then it's not a problem. Da amri b'nei Rabbi Chiya, because b'nei Rabbi Chiya taught us. So remember, this is B'nai Rabbi Chiya talking. It's no longer Rebbe talking. It's B'nai Rabbi Chiya talking, but the Gemara is plugging it into Rebbe's opinion that Gardume Tcheles Ksherin, the Gardume Ezov Ksherin. That Gardume Tcheles, forget about Ezov for now, but Gardume Tcheles are kosher. That if you have a part of the tzitzis that's cut, it's kosher. The Kamashir Gardumin, how much has to remain for it to be considered Gardumin and still be kosher, meaning the Gemara, it's an interesting assumption the Gemara makes. The Gemara assumes that Gardumin means that there are stubs left. Gardumin doesn't mean that it was cut, it means that you have stubs of strings left. So how big does a stub have to be in order for it to still be considered a string? Now, lichatchila, how long do your strings have to be? Anyone know how long strings have to be, lichatchila?
No.
Twice as long as the knots, but how long do the knots have to be? So the knots have to be four etzba'os. Netzba is the thickness of your thumb, from top to this thick, from top to bottom, thickness of your thumb. So the knots have to be four etzba'os, and the strings are supposed to be eight etzba'os. So the entire thing should be 12 etzba'os. So how much needs to be left of that after it gets... Okay, so the poskim have realized that there are different sized people, and in fact, the etzbos is one of the ways that we figure out the shear of kezayis based on the Gemara in the 10th paragraph of Maseches Pesachim. There are two ways that the Gemara has in two different places in Shas to figure out a shear of kezayis. Now, the Yehuda famously did an experiment where he discovered that the two ways of figuring out the shear shear of kezayis yielded vastly different results. When they tried to figure out the shear kezayis, one was almost twice the size of the other. So they tried to figure out, meaning one way is by water displacement of a kezayis, to figure out the shear kezayis. The other is using how the Gemara describes with the thumbs, two ways to figure out a revius, I should say. But anyway, the Nodeb Yehuda discovered that they're off by a lot, and he realized that either the size of olives changed or the size of people changed over the course of time. And he says it's not mistaver that the size of people changed. It's not mistaver that people got much bigger. probably olives got much smaller, and that's where all the chumras of shirim came. You ever sit down at a Pesach Seder with like a really yeshivish cousin or brother who takes out like a chart of how big his matzah has to be, where it's like he has one of those charts in his Haggadah where it like folds out several pages before he has to measure out, you know, the size of matzah, and then he stuffs as much as he possibly can in his face and tries to swallow it all at one time. So that comes from that is probably some expansion of that sheet of the Nadav Yehuda. And Nadav Yehuda assumes that that things change. It's fascinating. Nadav Yehuda had a Talmud, the Tshuva Me'ava, who actually suggests with a straight face that the Nadav Yehuda's shiurim were so big because Nadav Yehuda was like 6'5" and had like giant hands. And when he did his experiment, people didn't get bigger. He was just bigger. So it's hard to imagine someone as intelligent as Nadav Yehuda wouldn't realize that he's bigger than everybody else. And it's hard to imagine that he wouldn't use an average-sized person to do the experiment. So probably he really meant it. But anyway, so olive sizes didn't change. Olives, there are like seven different... You can go to a supermarket and buy seven different sizes of olives. You just have to figure out... It's funny. It's a little bit funny. And like the... They had a Kazayas book where you can figure out how much is a Kazayas of anything. How many Twizzlers is a Kazayas of Twizzlers? And it like has pictures of Twizzlers and tells how much is a Kazayas. So I was very curious to see what they would say about how many olives are a Kazayas of olives. So I turned to the olives page and I think it said three large olives.
It doesn't make any sense.
Are a Kazayas of olives. So obviously that's... I mean, it's not as much of a joke because a Kazayas... of food is the kazayas, including the pit. You don't eat the pit when you eat the olive, so you have to take out the makom of the pit and fill it in with another olive. But still, three large olives seems a little excessive to say that's the size of a kazayas. A kazayas is about the size of an average size olive. Okay, but come on, we got to learn here. So gardumim, the Gemara says, kama shir gardumim. The Gemara assumes there is a shir. How much of a stub has to be left on for it to get for it to be considered gardumim? So the Gemara says, Omar Shmuel Kedei La'anvan. What does Kedei La'anvan mean?
To tie
what? How to tie them?
To tie the tails together.
So this is a major machlokas Rishonim also. What exactly does Kedei La'anvan mean? I believe we typically assume la'halacha, like the shita that assumes that it's a slip knot. That it's enough to be able to take a little bit of string. Let's see if I can do this. Take a little bit of string, you know, make one of those slip knots. So it doesn't take that much string. So as long as you have that amount of space, so that's that much. When you make a slip knot and then pull it apart, that amount of space, that's Kedei La'anvan. Let's assume Pasha Pshat. So Yibayilu, Kedei La'anvan Kulu Ba'adadi, Odil Machad Chad L'chudei. What he means by that is, if I need to do Kedei La'anvan of all the strings together, so it's much harder when you have all the strings together to make an aniva, right? It would be like that. And then when I pull it apart, it's that big. But when you do Kedei La'anvan of just one string, you could do it much smaller. And it would be a much smaller size. So do you need Kedei La'anvan of the amount of space that it would take to do that with all your strings? Or with just one string? Again, there are many different shittos in Rishonim as to exactly what that kasha, what that shaila is. But let's just go with that as a simple pshat, just to get us through the Gemara. So the Gemara says, teku. We don't know. Let it stand, I should say. Frek the Gemara. Boy Ravashi. Alimi de lo ma'anvi v'yavu ketini ma'anvi ma'an. What if the strings are very, very thick, and that therefore you can't turn them into an aniva? But if you had thinner strings, you'd be able to make an aniva. Like on my tzitzis, I happen to have talus strings because they're stronger. They snap less frequently if you have talus, the thicker talus strings. So it would take much more space to make an aniva than if you use regular tzitzis strings, which are much thinner. So, what if it's long enough that if it were thin, you'd be able to make an aniva, but because it's only because it's thick, you can't make an aniva. It's long enough, but because it's too thick, you can't make an aniva. So, Amar le'ravach, b'rei d'rav le'ravashi, kol shkei d'minkar mitzvasayu. There's no din that you need to make an aniva. The din is that it needs to be a certain length that's still recognizable. How long is that length that it's still recognizable? That length is usually the amount of space that it takes to make an aniva on a thin string. If you have a thick string of that same length, it's even more recognizable. It's an even greater kiyum of a reisem. Right? That's the whole point of being able to look at the tzitzis and to be reminded. So that's why you need something still there. So if it's not just long enough, but also thick enough, I don't care that you can't make an aniva, because then it's even better. Kol shekein, of course, that's even better. Good, that's the Gemara. Comes along Tosfos, and Tosfos says, I'm gonna cheat when I read this Tosfos. I'm gonna look in the this newly discovered thing that everyone knew about except for me, in the back over here. Comes along Tosfos El Gardumin. So Tosfos says, now the Gemara says that according to Rebbe, Tcheles and Lavan are ma'akev each other, and therefore if two of the chutim of Lavan are snapped and the two chutim of Tcheles remain, or two chutim tcheles are snapped and the two chutim lavan remain, then it's going to be kosher. So it sounds, what? Then Rebbe holds that tcheles and lavan are ma'akiv zeh. When the Mishnah said ain ma'akiv zeh, it means that gardumin are not ma'akiv. Good. So if two lavan strings snap, the tcheles is still good. Two tcheles strings snap, the lavan is still good. So, second, is that a bad angle here? There we go. And that's the exact same angle as before now. So Rebbe says as follows. So Tosfos says as follows. That it sounds that, what if you have one tcheles and one lavan string that snap? What would that be? Meaning, he says if the tcheles snaps and lavan's still there, or the lavan snaps and tcheles still there, then it's kosher. What if one tcheles and one lavan snaps? Any thoughts? So says Tosfos, one tchelus, one lavan, it's hard for me to read in that. Mashmadi gardum kulu mifsuli. Sounds like that if all of them snap, then it's going to be puzzle. Right? If it's only when one min snapped, it's going to be kosher. But if all of them snapped, all the four chutim snapped, then it's going to be puzzle. And lechora, not just if four of them snapped, if three strings snapped also, it's going to be puzzle. Because you don't have a min echad shalim. And therefore, if one lavan and one tchela snaps, also possible. What do you need? You need at least one min to still be intact, to be fully intact. So you either need all the lavan as it was, you know, 12 egdolim long, or you need all the tchelas as it was. And gardumim is only what you deal with when with the other min that's incomplete. But one min always must remain complete. Not good enough. You need one min to be complete. Either two tcheles is to be complete or two lavans to be complete. And Tosfos is going to deal with, okay, now that we don't have tcheles, how does this translate over to our tzitzis?
Why does Tosfos continue to say that it's just tcheles or just lavan? It seems to be lavan. It seems to be saying if you have two strings in general, full strings in general, not...
Where are you? Let's slow. Vom Rabbeinu Tam. So look how Rabbeinu Tam starts his sentence. Da'ach shav shenosin dalid chutin beiz mishum lavanu beiz mishum tcheles. Nowadays that we put four chutin in when we don't have tcheles, we put four lavan strings in. Who holds that way?
Rashi
holds that way. Tulsa said, really you only need to put two lavan strings in nowadays. You don't have tcheles. So ignore the tcheles, just put two lavans in. But now he says that we know the practice is, and Tosfos says you're allowed to do this. It's not Baal Tosef to put four lavans in. So it would work according to Tosfos also. To put four lavans in nowadays, that's our custom. Why do we put four lavans in, Tosfos says? Not just because we're doing four lavans and it's not Baal Tosef, you're allowed to do four lavans, but two of the lavans are lavan. And two of the lavans are a remnant of tcheles. They're like a zecher to the tcheles. V'kofon l'shmona, we fold them over to make eight. We have to worry that if three of your eight snap, they may come from three different original strings. So that might mean three of your four are cut. And if three of your four are cut, then what? Hustle. So even if you're left with gardumin, with sheer gardumin on those three that were cut, no good. It's puzzle. V'nimtza shelo nisharu beis chutin shleimin. You're not left with two whole strings, which you need to be left with. Why does he not say tcheles or lavan? Because he's talking about bezman hazeh. somewhere where we don't have tcheles. So now that we don't have tcheles, what you're going to need is two full strings that remain untouched. Now, if it gets snapped a little bit, but you still have the shear of 12 thumb widths, it's fine. That's not called cut, right? You're even allowed to cut them down as long as you don't use like a knife or a scissor on it. The halacha is that you're not supposed to use a metal implement to cut the tzitzis because Barzel is mekatzer and mekatzer chaim, so we try not to use something that cuts short life to cut tzitzis. I get the shaila very, very frequently. Little children, when they first put on tzitzis, the tzitzis snap everywhere. So they want to know, parents want to know, can they cut the tzitzis? So I used to tell them, use a plastic scissor to cut the tzitzis, you're not allowed to cut the tzitzis. But then someone pointed out to me, and he was totally right, one of my balabatim pointed out, he said, wait a second, the kids that they're asking this about are 3, 4, 5-year-old kids. Are they really chayiv even midin chinuch in tzitzis? And the answer is no. Midin chinuch, you're only chayiv in tzitzis when you're cutting yodeh lis ate. So he's got to be, the tzitzis they wear is not even close to the size that would be proper for chinuch anyway. So anyway, it's just as a chinuch for the chinuch, you know, it's not even a mitzvah of chinuch. So you can do whatever you want. It's not even tzitzit. It's not even kosher tzitzit. So I would have no problem with cutting.
Maybe the cutting's not a din of who's wearing the tzitzit. It's just we don't want, when making tzitzit.
But it's not even a kosher tzitzit. It's not tzitzit.
Anyways, I think it's something you just want us to do.
I don't know.
If you're wearing white, all white, you cut off half a shirt.
Gardumim is not something you're supposed to do lechavchila. It would still be kosher. Oh, we'll discuss how many strings and how this works out. What you need to be sure of is that you have two chutin shleim.
I'm saying that this has to be talking about whether it's tefillah.
No.
Live with all of them, you need to cut off.
No.
Four strings and be kosher.
No, because you don't have two chutin shleim if you cut off four strings. Think about it. If you take your eight strings, okay, how many times am I up to taking out my tzitzis? If you take your eight strings and you cut three of them short, let's say, right? So these three may be from three out of the four original strings. They may all be separate strings. If that's the case, I don't have two full strings.
If you kept them separated the whole time.
Oh, so we'll discuss how it applies if you kept them separated the whole time. Right? If you kept them separated the whole time,
you know,
and you have three all on one side cut, puzzle. No, that's puzzle, because you definitely don't have two full strings. This one is the only one that's still full on this side. If you kept them separated, though, we'll see how that plays out. Yeah. Yeah.
And he said that since, like, that's true about the metal, like, that was in birth, like, using something like a sword. Like, say, using metal scissors, not.
He thought it was fine. Okay. All right. I don't want to get sidetracked. Okay. Good. Shkaich. Now I'll know next time. Okay. So, says Tosos, V'yesh l'daktik tzas. He says, even though that's what emerges from the sugya, we still have to remember who the sugya is going like. This entire sugya is like Shitas Rebbe. The sugizuka Rebbe Asya, the Hashtavi mitzvah achas, v'alacha k'Rebbe mechave rov, avalo mechave rov. We have a klal in halacha that when Rebbe argues on a single opinion, we pass him like Rebbe. But when Rebbe argues on a majority, on a rabbim, like for example a rabbanon, we pass him like the rabbanon against Rebbe. V'kol shkein me rabo, and certainly if Rebbe's going to argue on his own Rebbe, exactly. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbo Hayam. By the way, Rabbi Yossi Aglili was his Rabbi. Va'aha somchin she'en lanu tcheles u'matilin lavan. And that's what we are somechan. We don't have tcheles. We put all lavan in. Ul Rabbanan afilu b'chad mifsil. According to the Rabbanan, even one would be pasul. To tre mitzvos ninu, because there are two mitzvos. V'lo to'i la'achas l'chavirta. And one would not help the other. Davi ki'ilu igardim tcheles umiktsas lavan. Because then it would be as if the tcheles and part of the lavan is cut off. Meaning, even one string that remains incomplete, according to the Rabbanan, would be no good. Because we lost tcheles, tcheles is gone, we don't have the mitzvah of tcheles, so all we have is lavan, and whatever we have, we need for the mitzvah. So if any of it gets cut, it's possible. Umir nireh. But he says, wait a second. That's only if you have two strings of lavan. If in the absence of tcheles, you put two strings of lavan into your tzitzis, they both need to remain complete and they cannot be cut a kiyuzeh. They cannot be cut anything below the 12 agdol. But if you put four strings in your tzitzis, you know what you're doing? You're putting two extra strings in there. So two of them don't even matter. So if you have two strings that get cut, Fine, ignore it, it's okay. But if you have even the possibility that three of your strings got cut, puzzle. What do I mean, even the possibility of three of your strings got cut? You don't know when three strings get cut if they're really three separate strings. These two might be the same. You don't know for sure. You have to assume that they're not the same. And therefore, it's possible three of your strings get cut. So Rabbeinu Tam summarized is, you need two full strings. We don't have tcheles, you need at least two full lavan strings. If you have tcheles, you need at least two full lavan strings or at least two full tcheles strings. In a way, gardum is easier when you have tcheles. But certainly if you don't have tcheles, let's just discuss. I assume most people here still don't have tcheles, so we'll discuss for people who don't have tcheles. If you don't have tcheles, your children will all be wearing tcheles. But if you don't have tcheles, you have two full loven strings that you need to have. If three strings are cut, or even the possibility of three strings are cut, mimele, you don't have two full loven strings. Now let me ask you something. The possibility of three full strings cut, why is that enough for us to be machmir and say it's possible? Possibility that three strings are cut. Meaning that means it's a suffix, right? So if this din of gardumim is a din d'oraisa, so suffix d'oraisa l'chumra. That's why we're going to be so machmir, because suffix d'oraisa. There is a discussion. What about, there are a lot of other sveikos in this Gemara. There are machloks about what the shear of gardumim is. We said it's kedei aniva. So this machlokas is how big is a kedei aniva? Poskim generally assume it's shnei agdoli. It's about that big, right? But there's a shear chazanish and a shear grachna. Like it's 4 centimeters or 5 centimeters. What if it's 4.5 centimeters? Would you then say svek sveka lakula when three of your strings get cut and it's 4.5? Meaning, how much do we just say it's a vadai? It's not even a suffik. If three of your strings get cut, we treat it like a vadai? And to what extent do we say, no, it's really a suffik? Okay, back of our mind kind of question. But just outlining Rabbeinu Tam for us. Here, actually, can you pass me that Piskei Tshuvos over there? Outlining Rabbeinu Tam. So, three strings are cut, or even the possibility. That's possible. We're machmir misafik. Now, if one string gets cut, what do you do if one string gets cut?
It's fine,
totally, even if it gets cut all the way down. Meaning you don't even need gardumim. Why don't you even need gardumim if one string gets cut? Because we don't have tcheles, meaning you don't have tcheles anyway. You just have two extra strings in your tzitzis. If you don't have tcheles anyway, the whole point is that when your tcheles gets cut to the shir gardumim and you still have full lavan strings, you still get the full mitzvah, don't worry about it. But if you don't have tcheles anyway, you just have two extra strings. So strings don't even need to be there. So if they get cut entirely, fine, let them be cut entirely. It's okay. If one string or two strings get cut, it could be cut entirely, it would be totally fine. If only one or two strings were to get cut, according to Shitas, Rabbeinu Tam. Let's say, okay. Let's say you have two strings on the same side that get cut, and you've been careful to keep them on the same side the whole time, according to Rabbeinu Tam.
Yes, true.
You've been careful to keep them on the same side, so then you're vaday okay, right? Let's say it were two strings on a different side and they get cut all the way down on different sides from each other.
It should
still be okay. Should still be okay because these are part of the extra strings.
They're
on the same side, it means it's two separate strings, but you still have two surviving strings.
It has to be all of them.
If there are opposites, it could be the same string.
Yeah.
What?
If there are opposites, it could be the same string.
Right, so it's even better. Yeah.
Is there any Indian of putting in two white lishmats to be white?
Yeah, all of them.
Is there any Indian of putting in two white, to be those two white and then the other two are
I don't think so. I think we just assume that it sorts itself out. You know, I don't think we assume.
You said they're cut down all the way. It's only one lavan and one tcheles.
If you knew it would be the exact.
Okay, we're assuming all Lavans now. One second. Let me. You know what? I'm getting into details too soon. Let's broadly outline Shitas Ri also, and then see how it plays out in Halacha. The Ri holds that the Rabbanan would disagree with Rebbe, and the Rabbanan would only require four strings. So if any string is, the Rabbanan do require four strings to remain. That they require a full four strings, but not a full four strings, they require four strings that have at least gardumin. So if any one string gets cut to the base, all the way down, puzzle. If four strings get cut, four separate strings get cut, and you're sure that they're separate strings, as long as they remain gardumin, it would be kosher. Gardumin would mean you could have even four that are cut all the way down, that are cut to the point of gardumin. But even one that's cut beyond the point of gardumin, the Ri would hold is possible. So now, what? It would be kosher. Now, the way it plays out, therefore, la halacha is as follows:
all four
cut to gardumin. Eight would be bad because you would still need one side, I think, to still be the proper level.
How would you be able to match it up? On different sides.
You wouldn't be able to match up on different sides. You'd have to be choshish l'chumra. That it's from four. There are four original strings that turn into eight.
Yeah.
If one side gets cut down, if you kept the side separate, and one side gets cut down to shir gadumim, all four of them get cut down to shir gadumim, as long as the other side is still fine, you're fine.
What if two on each?
Then it's no good, because then it's also fine, because worst comes to worst. No! Both to shir gadumim, you're saying.
No,
it would not be good, because you can't have two sides both cut down. You can't have two sides of the same string both cut.
Because
the Ri holds, you can't miss anything. Rabbeinu Tam holds, you can be missing two strings. It doesn't matter.
Oh, you said you
the Ri holds, you can't be missing any strings. So you need all four.
According to the Ri, then you could be
it's not missing.
One
it's
gardumin. Possible.
Yes.
It's not missing. It's gardumin. It's
missing the string is all.
Yeah, but gardumin is only on one side of a string. If gardumin doesn't work on two sides of the same string.
Then there's no nachum in between gardumin and cut all the way down.
Sure, there is if it's on one side. If it's cut all the way down on one side, no good.
Why?
If it's cut to gardumin, because you don't have four strings anymore. If it's cut to gardumin on one side, it's fine. To get through this forest over here. Okay, Piskei Tshuvos does it very nicely. It says as follows. Really the way to do this is learn the Tosos carefully, learn the Rush carefully, look at the Beis Yosef carefully. We don't have enough time. You have all morning tomorrow. He outlines it as follows. If one string, one of your eight, gets cut. Now, la halacha were machmir for both Shitas Ri and Rabbeinu Tam if we can. Shulchan Aruch is machmir for both if we can. If you're able to. B'dieved, if you're at least satisfying Shitas Ri, you could still make a bracha on your tzitzis. That's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. So now, given that, and we ignore the Rambam, because we don't know what he's talking about. So given that, la halacha is the way it's going to play out. If one string gets cut, one of your eight gets cut. Since you tied your strings originally properly, even if it gets cut all the way down and nothing is left of that one that's cut, nothing is left of the one that's cut. So I must have said it wrong. He says that's kosher l'chaladeos. Why is that kosher l'chaladeos? According to the Ri, it should be possible. One second. Why is that kosher l'chaladeos? Why is that kosher? Maybe I said the Ri wrong. Let me say the Ri again. Let me say the Ri over again. Let me say over the Ri. I apologize. I said the Ri wrong. The Ri is.
Is it definitely what the Ri says?
The Ri would say as follows. One second. The Ri would say, it's in Tosir Maschal El, it's the Odi Shlomo. The Ri and the Rush hold that there's a difference between Rebbe and the Rabbanan when it comes to Gardumim. According to Rebbe, even if two of the Chutim or Lavan are totally cut, or two of the Chutei Tcheles are totally cut, meaning beyond Kedei Aniva, they're totally cut, and the other ones are Shalem, that's going to be Kasher. Because it's one mitzvah, it's all, they're mamish mitzvah achas, so one min that's Shalem is good enough. Good, that is the Ri. I mean, that is the Ri's understanding of Rebbe. That's the reason understanding of Rebbe. But that's not how we paskin. We paskin like the Chachamim, that even if, no, that's the reason understanding of Rebbe also, that you agree with the Rebbe's understanding of Rebbe. But, he says, according to the Chachamim, even if you only have one min, you need four chutim from that min. Right? You need it to be four chutim. So therefore it turned out that there's dafka adin, that you have to have four chutim. So even a chut echad that gets snapped legamri is puzzle. If one chut gets snapped legamri, it's going to be puzzle according to the Ri. But if it gets snapped to the Kedei Aniva, even if all four chutim are snapped to the shear of Kedei Aniva, it's going to be kasher. And that's what B'nai Rabbi Chiyah were talking about in the Gemara. B'nai Rabbi Chiyah say, Gardumei Tcheles are kasher. Meaning, even if all the chutim are snapped, and all you have is Gardumim, all you're left with is Gardumim, it's going to be kasher. Because you have a Shir Gardumim, that's a Kedei Aniva, that's going to be kasher. One second. When they say Gardumei Tcheles, they don't mean only Tcheles and not Lavan. The entire tzitzis is called tcheles. Where do we find the entire tzitzis called tcheles? Yesterday's daf yomi. That someone sees a guy walking in the shuk and he's not wearing tcheles, it means he's not wearing tzitzis. Tcheles very often is just because the ikar tzitzis, it's most recognizable by the tcheles, so we often call tzitzis in general tcheles, but it really means tzitzis. So it comes out that the Gemara is quoting the B'nai Rabbi Chiya to explain Rebbe's shita. But it's not that the B'nai Rabbi Chiya really agree with Rebbe. The B'nai Rabbi Chiya are just showing that there's a chilek between when you have a Kedei Aniva and when you don't have a Kedei Aniva. Now, the Tur writes, B'shem V'ri, that if Shnei Roshei Chutim are cut, what does Shnei Roshei Chutim mean? Both sides of the same string. Meaning if you have four on one side, four on the other side, you kept them separate. If both sides of the same string, let's say you hold like Raivin.
I'm saying how
would you I'll tell you. Let's say you hold like Raivin. Right? And you so you have one tcheles string. So you know, you can see that, right? So Shnei Roshei Chutim. Or forget about holding like Raivin. Let's say you even have to be Choshesh. That's Shnei Roshei Chutim. So if you kept them separate and there's one on one side, one on the other side that's cut, that might be Shnei Roshei Chutim. Right? That might be the same string. So the Torah writes in the name of the Ri, in the name of the Rush, that if Shnei Roshei Chutim gets snapped to the point where there's less than a Kedei Aniva, the tzitzis is going to be possible. If Shnei Roshei Chutim less than a Kedei Aniva. On opposite
side.
Well, if there's any chashash, then it's the same string. So if you kept them separate, that would mean that any two strings on opposite sides, you have to be choshesh is the same string, less than a Kedei Aniva possible. If you didn't keep them separate, any two strings at all that get snapped, you have to be choshesh are the same string, and it's possible. Right?
This is
the Ri according to the Rabbanan. Yeah, this is the Ri, the Ri's understanding of the Rabbanan, which is how we would paskin like. So Shnei Roshei Chutim gets snapped to the point of less than Kedei Aniva, then it's going to be possible. Beis Yosef points out that the Shnei Roshei Chutim, that's assuming you couldn't keep track. But if you were keeping track, and you had four on one side, four on the other side, and you were keeping track the whole time, and the two Chutim that got snapped are both on the same side, exactly, so you know they're from two different strings, in that case, there would be kasher. In that case, there would be kasher, because you have the other side.
That
still has more than... So even if on one side it's less than a Kedei, I think that's what that's where I went wrong before. Even if on one side you have less than a Kedei Aniva, if on the other side you're still good, it's kasher.
So it's saying, that's what I said.
So again, so the way the Ri would turn out is as follows. That if you have, you need four strings. That the four strings, you could have Gardumim up until a Kedei Aniva. Gardumim could be on either side of those strings up until Kedei Aniva. So if one string gets snapped totally at the bottom, and another string gets snapped to the point of a Kedei Aniva, the halacha would be kosher according to the Ri. Why? Because you definitely have four remaining strings. Because even if one string gets snapped Kedei Aniva, the other side, one string gets snapped below Kedei Aniva, the other string is still Shalim. The other side of that string is still okay. So therefore it turns out.
You're saying that you need three more strings.
No.
You need all, the gardum-
all four strings need at least a shir gardum.
On each side or on only one side?
On at least one side.
So if all four on if all four out of eight on one side get gardum, that's still kosher.
That's still kosher.
No, that's
still
separate,
if all four get cut all the way to the bottom, it would still be kosher. Because the if you kept them separated. Because the other side you still has gardum.
If I kept it separated,
the other side still has a full shear. According to the reason saying the Rabbanan. So,
if I kept it separate and then I only had this left, it'd be kosher? And not this
That's what it seems. So, yeah, it would seem that way. So, one second. So, let's see how he says it now. So, if one string gets snapped, everyone says it's okay. Rabbeinu Tamri, everyone's okay with that. Good. In fact, it's a shaila whether you're even allowed to untie it to redo it. Because why would you untie perfectly good tzitzis? It may mamish be perfectly good. So, for hider mitzvah, can you untie it in order to redo it to be matel to another? Okay, discussion posted. If two out of the eight strings get snapped, and you don't have a Kedei Aniva, meaning they get snapped all the way to the bottom, so if you were careful when you first made the tzitzis to keep four on one side and four on the other side, and the two that get snapped are both on one side, what does that tell you? That your two that got snapped are different strings. The tzitzis are kosher. Why are they kosher according to Rabbeinu Tam? According to Rabbeinu Tam, they're kosher because what all you need according to Rabbeinu Tam is
two
full ones, and you have two full ones. According to the re, they're kosher because you have the other side. And the other side of those strings is still okay. Right? So, what if you were not careful when you tied to keep four on one side, four on the other side? So you don't know which strings connect to which four connect to which four? And two of them get snapped all the way to the bottom? According to Rabbeinu Tam, fine. You're kosher. Right? Why according to Rabbeinu Tam are you kosher? Because all you need is two full strings and you still definitely have two full strings. According to the re, though, you're puzzled. Why? Because both of those might be the same string. Then you have two string. Then you have one string that has no gardumim anywhere. They're both. It's cut totally down on both ends. Puzzle. Good.
Yeah.
What if you have three strings that are cut? Three strings of the eight. One second. Three strings of the eight. Even if you have a Kedei Aniva left of those three strings, what would Rabbeinu Tam tell you?
No.
Possible. Rabbeinu Tam holds you need two to remain fully intact. Yud Beis Agdol. Agodelim. You need at least 12 family, right? You need two fully intact. Three of the eight get cut. Even if you have a Kedei Aniva, Rabbeinu Tam would say, possible. According to the Rush, the Re, what would we say? Kosher, right?
Wait, for this explanation, the reason is that if you cut all the strings...
We'll get there.
Only if you know, though.
Even if you don't know, because you still have a Kedei Aniva. If you have a Kedei Aniva, according to the... if you have a Kedei Aniva, L'charchila, in that case, what are we paskin? L'charchila, we try to be choshesh for shitas Rabbeinu Tam. So you try to get yourself a better pair of tzitzis. But do you have to take off the beged because you're violating wearing a beged of dal kamfos without tzitzis? No, you could be samech on the shitas hari that your tzitzis is still okay. People don't realize this. Most of the time, people have three strings that are cut, they'll automatically assume that tzitzis is possible. But if you have three strings cut, even if they have a kedei aniva, Rabbeinu Tam would say possible. According to the Rush and the Re, it's automatically kosher.
You have the other
side too.
What? Ah, okay. When you buy store-bought tzitzis, can you assume that they kept the side separate? So I saw Piskei Tshuva was quoted somebody that says you cannot make any assumptions about it. That you have to assume that they weren't being so careful. Although I think standard practice when they teach people to make tzitzis. My grandfather taught me how to make tzitzis many, many years ago. I was a little kid. And he taught me that what you do is you take four strings, you make a slip knot on that side, and that way you always keep track. The whole time that you're tying, you leave one side like that, and that way you can always keep track what that side is. I think that's standard practice, but I don't know. Anyone else here make tzitzis? No, we... Right?
How do we pause?
with Riyah Rabbeinu Tam? We pass like the Rimeikra Din, but we try to be Choshish for Rabbeinu Tam. So one second. Let's say three or four of the eight are cut, and it's less than a Kedei Aniva. Three or four are cut to the point below a Kedei Aniva. They're cut all the way to the bottom.
You meant three or four.
Three strings or four of your eight?
On one side or two sides?
Oh, okay. Well, either one.
Had to be careful with that.
Three or four of your eight strings are cut down to less than Kedei Aniva. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's obviously possible. Because you need two full strings. If you were careful to keep the four separate from the other four, right?
One second.
And you have cut less than a Kedei Aniva. Three or four cut less than a Kedei Aniva all on one side, what would the re say?
Kasher.
You're still good. Because your other side is still okay. Right? So if you were careful, b'shas, asiyas, hatzitzis, that you can have four against the four, the tzitzis are going to be kasher according to the re, Rabbeinu Tam would say puzzle, and therefore what do? Get yourself a better pair of tzitzis, but so long as you're wearing this, you're good. What if five strings get cut? And you have a Kedei Aniva? Five strings get cut, but you have a Kedei Aniva. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's obviously puzzle. According to the Re, it's kosher if you have a Kedei Aniva. What? Once you have Kedei Aniva, you can have all eight. Right. In fact, you can have four cut down totally on one side and the other four Kedei Aniva. Yeah. That is how it plays out la'alacha. That is how the Rabbeinu Tam and the Re play out. Bottom line, la'alacha. All right, I guess we'll stop. There's so much here, man. I should get sure. All right.
You guys, I'm not going to that. If anybody wants to leave my spot on the bus.